Hey, it's Connect the Dots. And first, let me just say, hey, happy birthday, John Lennon, one of the greatest human beings that ever walked the face of this earth. And I just wanted to remind everybody, October 9th was his birthday. I mean, in some places, the West Coast, out in Hawaii, it's still October 9th. If you're in New York City, well, it's October 10th already. One of the probably the greatest thing he did was write a song called Imagine. And you need to really check out the words, because he was like, it was a vision for the future, and it's going to happen real soon. And the basic words are, imagine all the people living life in peace, and the world will be as one, and the world will live as one. We're on our way getting there now, and it'll happen soon. Thank you, John Lennon, for all you've given to the world. Okay, let's move right along. My guest tonight is Liz Presley, directly from Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, if you're not familiar with the place. It's a world historic site now, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. Are you on the phone, Liz Presley?
I sure am, Tom. How are you doing this evening? Happy birthday, John Lennon.
Yeah. A great man. But, hey, you're Liz Presley, one of the members of the Elvis Presley family, and let's face it, your father, Elvis Presley, is a legend. He was a living legend in his own right. And without people like Elvis Presley, John Lennon and the Beatles probably would have never got as popular as they were. But anyhow, I was talking to you earlier, and one of the most important things that you have to offer the world from Graceland is your 360 plan. Can you tell us about what that'll do for, struggling musicians and artists that want to get paid royalties for stuff they have out there?
Absolutely.
Tell us something about it.
Yeah, basically when I came home to Graceland, just like our father, you know, and my sister and my mom, we like to do things for people. We like to make things happen for people. We like to design things, and I've been designing things all my life. And when I came home in 2013 to my family, I didn't stop. I designed things for Graceland and designed things for people, and took pride in our foundation and did lots of things for people. But then I saw the publishing business, and I saw my music and books and things I wanted to bring out. And so I had to extensively study. Now, to learn in the music business, you have to kind of go to Berklee College and things like that. I didn't do that. So I learned it the hard way. And it takes a lot of years to do that. And to order to get it right so you can receive all your royalties. And, of course, I have a company called L&L Presley. And in that company, we're with BMI. And it's a publishing company for books and music. The book program is a separate program, and it's on llpresley.com. And the music program is actually on my fan site. Because basically on my fan site, we have a membership site. People join to be a fan where they get all sorts of things from me. But we also put the music publishing on there too. And the reason we did, because to join the fan site, it only costs $10 or $15 or $30, three different levels. And to actually train somebody in the music business for all music royalties and things will take a long, long time. And cost a lot of money. You'd have to charge somebody a fortune, you know, to actually teach them literally everything. So it took me a lot of years to design a simple program that, you know, basically we train them, we coach them. Every week I do a video. I'm starting on the 15th of this month, the first video. And we explain to them how to get 100% of their music royalties, of course, less the fees across the world. And now a lot of people join different organizations and things like that to release their music. And a lot of people don't even have a publishing company. And so therefore, they don't really get any more than about 10 to 25% of their royalties. They leave about 75% on the table, sometimes even more than that, you know. And in the old days of the record labels, they did all that hard work. And you can't just join one thing and think you're going to get all your music royalties. It doesn't work that way. So I designed a program where people can get all their royalties so they can make a living in the music business. And it's a fantastic program. Like I said, it will cost somebody an absolute fortune to be able to understand and to educate themselves on how to get all their music royalties. But now with the 360 music publishing program from L&L Presley, And, you know, they now can go ahead and join for as little as $10 and literally just watch those videos and get it right for their music royalties. It's very important. We all love to do music. We all love to sing and things like that and be artists and be songwriters. And a lot of people say the comment, well, I don't do it for money. However, when you release music, you're making money. Now, if you don't get it, it's going to be going to the big record labels, just like the old days. So in the old days, the record labels managed the money. And in this day, when as the music's been split up all over the world, they still manage the money if you don't claim it. So you have to claim your royalties. You have to do it right. You can't just join one of the organizations that distribute your music and think you're going to get it all. You're not. It doesn't work that way. You've got to follow a particular procedure to get your business set up correctly as a music artist and a songwriter or a songwriter. And then once you've got all that sorted, it takes about 6 months totally, you'll receive all your royalties and you'll see a dramatic difference because there's a lot of royalties throughout the world that people can receive they don't get. Most of the royalties people receive join those organizations to distribute their music are just pretty much the master rights money from that. And they don't really get much out. Of course, they're registered all over the world, join their admin publishing programs, but they're still missing a lot of royalties if they don't do it correctly, probably about 75%, like I said. So our program, the 360 the royalty management program from Alan L. Presley, which is at Graceland, and basically they can join that with those $10 and learn the entire, $10 a month to $15 or $30 a month, and learn the entire process of how to collect all your royalties. We don't teach one.
Can you say that website one more time so everybody can write it down?
I can. And remember, everybody, we don't sell just one little bit where we distribute your music or do one little thing. We sell the entire thing. So you'll learn everything, A to Z, and you'll have your music business set up. So it's a music business and business music, as said by Rick Barker, Taylor Swift's ex-manager. And it is that way. It's music business for the love of it and business music for the money. And we take care of that for you by coming on our program. You can do that by going to our publishing website, which is LLPresley.com. And if you read in the description of everything, how it works with the books and things like that, and go just underneath that, you'll see a little button that says to register for music publishing. You can go there. And I take you to my fan site where you can register for one of three levels, $10, $15, or $30 per month. The $30 is where you get live videos. You know, me, you actually see me live every week, teaching you directly. And the lower levels are when we've actually been live, one has early access, the one doesn't, one just gets the videos later, you know, after about a day later, once I've gone live. So those are the different platforms. This is a thousands and thousands of dollars a program. The reason I'm giving it so cheap is we here at Graceland are here to help people, help the world, help artists and songwriters. And we designed this program for people. So we are making sure it's affordable for people so anybody can afford it. Well, no artist can say, I can't afford that $10,000, you know? I can't afford that to learn the business. I can't go to Berklee College.
Thing you're doing.
Thank you.
Let me just butt in here for a second, Liz, and I'll let you get back to explain some more about this. For those of you who are not aware, Liz Presley, because of extenuating circumstances, she actually grew up in England, and that's why she has that English-British accent, you know. And, you know, if you spent most of your life in England and not at Graceland, you're going to keep that English accent. So I just wanted to explain that and people might be confused. How can you be, you know, a child of Elvis Presley and have an English accent? Well, there's extenuating circumstances, and she has all that info. She has a book out now called Kid of the King. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. So if you want the details on that, it's in the book. Okay, let's take us back to 360 again and tell us a little more details.
Sounds good. Yeah, I have been designing lots of things for Graceland since I've been home in 2013. But, of course, I had to go through almost 8 years of investigations and DNA and everything else. So now I've done that. And so now I'm happy in Tennessee and home. And, oh, my goodness, all these years later, wow. You know, if anybody's ever been in an adoptive. So if I wasn't really an adoptive family, I was placed with our cousins on the hood side in England, out of the army from Germany and America and England. And a lot of our cousins on the hood side are actually in England. So yeah, so the 360 Music Publishing Program, I designed this. And so people know a little bit about my history too. I was actually nominated by Prince Charles for Innovation in Business, and I won an Innovation Award too. And I also won an award along with my mother in 2018. I won Impressive. Business Lady of the Year. And my mum won Outstanding Citizenship Award, and I went to her dinner. And I just recently won another award for COVID. I've worked for COVID in England, which I'm very proud of. And so I've been designing things all my life. It wasn't just when I came home to Graceland. I've got the same kind of genes as my family, with my mum and my sister and me and my dad. Love to, you know, just design things and help people and be there for people. And when I saw this need, I designed it for myself. And then I realized everybody in the world wants that, you know. But then I started charging one-on-one coaching for that. But a lot of artists couldn't afford that. So I just worked and worked at fine-tuning it. So now I've got it really wonderfully where they can just join in join on my fan site. I can not only get all my stuff, they get all my new records, everything that way. And Graceland Life magazine, the new magazine I designed too. And that's every quarter. And they also get my videos and books and things I release in the future. And latest news too. So they, any artist or any fan can join that website and basically just scroll down to about me and just read about me. Don't be too shocked, okay? But read about me, and that's below that. You see a little button that goes to the music.
Well, thing. I mean, you know, you proved that you were the child of Priscilla and Elvis with DNA tests, and it's just so happened you just happened to be growing up over in England. And so that's all history now. And I'm, you know, it's wonderful for you that you're at your real home, Graceland. Your mother still lives there, right?
Yes, my mom doesn't live at Graceland. My mom lives in California, near Lisa, my daughter.
I see. Okay, but anyhow, you know, you are really a child of Elvis and Priscilla, and you're following in your father's footsteps by doing good things with music. I mean, the music of Elvis Presley, I mean, it really changed the music world. It changed the world in many ways. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of the youth culture rebellion, and he was leading it back there in the 50s when he started his music. And I know quite a lot of stories related to that. Maybe we'll talk about them after. But this 360 deal of yours, when I first heard it, I thought, wow, this is what every singer-songwriter needs to find out before he goes making deals with managers and record labels and stuff like that. And there's so many of us out there now where we're just putting, you know, because of our love for music and our creative abilities, we're putting our music out there for nothing because we just want to get it out there. Most people who become singer-songwriters, that's what's more important to them than the money. But why get cheated out of the money if you don't have to? And you're going to help a lot of us with that, believe me.
Yeah. The money is made anyway. Okay, a lot of people think if they don't register in those things, it's not going to be made, but it is. The money is made anyway. But if you don't collect it, it goes into a big black box, and it goes to the major record labels. So one way or the other, it's going to be going somewhere. You might as well have it in your pocket. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little debit card in your pocket and go and get your lunch knowing your music paid for that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is like a gift from heaven to every singer, songwriter, and independent band out there. I mean, that they can find out how to, like, you know, not get screwed by the system. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're not all business people, me, myself, you know, and I'm more of a creative person than a business person. I never had a desire to make a lot of money, but believe me, I would like to get some more royalties from all the stuff I have out there, because I ended up putting it out there on my own because I'm a very independent person, and like most singer-songwriters, we're independent. We want to do it our way, and we don't want corporate people telling us how we have to do it, even if it means losing money. Yeah. But now you've got a way for us to regain some of the money we might have lost, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to actually you don't really want to, like, example, if you're going to start a business and you're going to start a store, would you want to start that store and have no cash register? When they come in and say, how much is this? I still just take it. I just do it for my fun. I just love it. I just love doing it. I love these products. I just give them all away. You wouldn't do that, would you? So why would you do that with your music?
Unfortunately, a lot of us are doing that. But
just get you a cash register. Just get you a cash register. How's that sound? So it's not about, you understand, it's not about, we're not here at Graceland to be about money. We're here about helping people. And if you don't want the money, then you can get it and give it to charity. You can give it back to Graceland, and we will, to the Presley Foundation, and we'll give it to St. Jude or the homeless and the people that really need it. So if you don't want it, that's fine, but don't lose it. Learn the business, get your money, and if you don't want it when you receive it, just send us a check. But I've got a funny feeling you might want to keep that check.
Yeah. I mean, anybody listening to this show right now, if you're not a musician or a band member, but you probably know people who are band members or musicians, tell them about this. Spread the word, you know?
And I'm like,
give the name
and I'm
of,
like,
that, of that website again, LL Presley, is it?
LL, so it's Lima Lima, so LL Presley, PRESLEY.com. Just scroll down, just read about me. Just below that, you see a button that says learn music publishing or join music publishing on my fan site. And remember, I'm just the same as all of you. You know, I was raised on a farm, and I'm a country kid, and I'm home at Graceland. I know it's really big and all that stuff, but it's, we're very grounded, and we're here for people, and we're here to design things and to help people in the world. You know, my dad did lots of things, and now the future's here, and the future of Graceland is not just about Graceland. It's about people, communities, and solving problems and issues of this world. And so we're much more than just the music.
That's very,
you know?
Beautiful. I mean, really, you are setting a good standard for others to follow. And you're not just talking to the self. You're doing the walk also.
Mm-hmm. And I when I came home, I clung really tight to my dad, you know, spiritually. And now I can hang. You'll see me with my mum. Photos of my mum and stuff like that. So I cling tight to my mum these days and stuff like that. So I'm just a kid still. And I'm here designing things and, you know, and helping people. And I do have the same problems and issues as all of you. And I just have the talent to be able to design things. Just like my dad has talent to sing. And when you see me sing too, I'm a lot like my dad, but I'm not a copy of my dad. I'm original because I'm not acting. It's all real. So I want you all to remember that. When you hear my songs, you think, that sounds like Elvis. Don't think I'm copying. I'm not an original, because you can't get a hit record if you're not original. I am original, but I'm similar to my father.
I'll tell everybody listening now, the first picture I saw of you on the internet, I thought, wow, you look just like Elvis.
Thank you.
Which makes perfect sense, you know?
Well, I'm actually the same height. I'm the same height, shoe size, and everything, actually. I could walk into Graceland right now and put on my dad's suits, well, especially when I was 17 to 24, it was exactly the same. And so I could put some of those suits my dad had, and they'd fit me perfectly.
Hey, I can believe that. Myself, I haven't changed since I was 15 years old. Same size waist, 29, same size shirt, same size shoes. It's like, I guess I wanted to stay in that age group. My mind, I think like a 16-year-old still.
Yeah,
but
me too. I'm saying young Tom. Yeah,
I understand how people can stay like that. This is what I wanted to mention, because you have a lot of credentials. One of the amazing things when I looked up a little info about you. They list you as an award-winning singer, songwriter, actor, and philanthropist.
Yes.
And that's quite a lot of important things to be giving credit for, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I love to see, the thing is, I came home to Graceland because to my parents, because I was, you know, when you're in another family, you feel lost. So I came home just to be part of my family. But I love making a difference, you know. I wouldn't be singing and doing all these things if I didn't feel good about making a difference in people's lives. If I wasn't making a difference in people's lives, I wouldn't do it. So that's what I'm here for. You know, I don't really do things for myself. I do them for other people. When I go and sing on stage, I want to see the reactions of people. When I do give people things, you know, and I design things that changes their lives, that's what makes me happy. And I do believe my mum and dad and sisters are exactly the same way. Yeah.
That's a wonderful attitude to have towards life. And I'm glad to hear that's the path you're following, because that's kind of the path we all should be following. You know, if we all were more concerned about helping other people out, this world would be a wonderful place.
Well, you know, if you concentrate on designing, and helping people, you then, in the end of the day, will get what you want, which is great pleasure and seeing everybody else succeed and being happy, you know?
Yeah, of course. You're absolutely right. And, hey, your father, you know, he was bringing so much love into the world. I mean, that's why they called him the King of Rock and Roll, because he was doing things that people before him had never done, you know? And
that's right.
Information connected with that, too, that I've come across over the years. Like, for instance, it was Elvis Presley who helped sell more record players than anybody in the history of the world. All of a sudden, that didn't have record players wanted to go out and get one so they could listen to Elvis, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a phenomenal thing to be that popular, that you're influencing people all around the world to go out and get a record player. And, of course, that was the medium to listen to the music back then, outside of the radio. You wanted to listen to the new recordings, you needed a record player.
Oh, yeah, I could tell you so many stories about our father and about a lot of experiences when I came home. You know, I could tell you, today, you know, my dad is still really here spiritually. And when I first came home, it was 2011, I was singing as a Laney before I found my family. And then 2013, I found my family. Now, 2013, the fans were going to Graceland thinking my dad was alive, coming back, you know. And so what they didn't realize, that's the year I was coming home. And so then I said in 2015, I said to the whole world, I said, at the time, of course, I was being severely attacked by Elvis fans, going, you're not Elvis as a child, you're just a fake. It's like all of us, you know, of course, the DNA proved them wrong. So, but anyway, around 2015, or it was 2015, I said something really what people thought was stupid, because I basically was thinking about my dad at the time, and I remember the time it snowed in England, and I know how much I and my father loved snow, And so I said, it's going to snow in the next 2 weeks in Memphis. And they said, you're completely stupid. It's not going to snow in the next 2 weeks in Memphis. It hasn't snowed in Memphis since your dad's days. I said, I don't know. God, I feel like God and my dad are saying it's going to snow, because I kind of wanted it to snow, and I think it's going to snow. And they were calling me all sorts of names, you know, delusional and everything. Anyway, within that 2 weeks, it snowed in Memphis, and Graceland took a video of it, harder than it had ever done since my dad's days. And I was thanking God for that, because otherwise I'd look like a complete idiot. And, you know, I keep my mouth shut now when I feel things like that, but I told the world at that time, and sure enough, it was snowing, and it snowed at Graceland, just like it did in my dad's and my time, you know.
Cool. You know, there's plenty of testimonial stories like that. Snow is kind of like a spiritual connection from the universe. When the universe is looking down into what's happening here on planet Earth, and it's something meaningful, snow will come out of the thin air and it'll snow a little. It's kind of like a recognition I'll give you a perfect example. When John Lennon was murdered, and Yoko asked for everybody to give a couple of minutes of silence on a certain day, and I knew about it. I was driving a truck myself at the time. So I just pulled over on the side of the road and turned on the radio and listened for that moment of silence. And right at that moment, out of the blue, it started to snow.
There's a lot of
miracles. The universe is paying attention to things that are spiritually important to the human race.
Yeah, well, the thing is, a lot of people wonder how I came home in 2013. At that time, you know, I had a feeling of my dad, you know, very deeply. And I hadn't thought about him since I was 17 when he died. And one of the songs was Are You Lonesome Tonight that he sang. And he's very depressed on stage about that song. And when I came home and I was waiting for my legal case, I was in the the Leland Price family, Vincent Price, the horror actor, and we found an old radio downstairs in the basement because I was helping clean out the basement. There's an old radio, and it's like over 40 years old, and the owner of the house said I could keep it, you know, where I was staying, and so I said, let me see if it works. So I dropped it, and I said, well, it's no good now. I said, oh, no, let me try to do this, and so it didn't break, and I put it on the counter, and I turned it on, and the radio worked, and it played Are You Lonesome Tonight by my father.
Wow.
Yeah.
That, you know, these things are kind of, coincidences are arranged.
Yeah.
I talk about that in the book. The only book I've ever written is called Connected Dots Theory. That's why I got the name for the show, Connected Dots. And
yes.
I talk about that coincidences are really created to happen on purpose, to get us to think and understand how everything is connected and that our lives are being paid attention to more than we ever realized.
Yeah, you know, like I never planned on coming home. I just came home, but my dad kind of came to me in 2013 when I was praying to God and giving up by searching, because I was searching, you know, and I was searching in my soul and I wouldn't stop searching, and so I decided to give up searching. And when I gave up searching, my dad kind of came to me, and a lot of these things from my childhood came back to me. And so then 4 years later, because I was scared to run my DNA initially in case I was wrong, and I didn't think I was, and I would be devastated if I was. And so I ran my DNA, you know, when in 2017 and with eight companies, and then, of course, with the company that ran my dad's DNA as well, and also investigators and the federal government also did as well. And now I'm listed as a child of my dad and my mom, Alvis and Priscilla, of course. And then I was approved at almost 8 years later, but that was a very hard, long journey. But
I bet.
At the end of the day, I live home and I live at Graceland East. Now, I did help manage Graceland West, which is in California. I sold that for the bank because the bank had it, because the people who bought that after my dad had got in trouble. So I helped the bank get rid of that property. I was going to live in that, but my mum didn't like that property, so I didn't want to live there if she didn't like it. So I couldn't live at Memphis. I was trying to live at Graceland. With my granddad has a house next to Graceland, but somebody had already bought that, and when he found out I wanted it, he upped the price like 10 times, so that wouldn't work. So I now live at Graceland East, which is about 8 hours away in Tennessee, in Kingsport, Tennessee. Yeah, so we have, a lot of people think, you know, how many Gracelands are there? There's three. There's Graceland West in California, which is privately owned by somebody now, and Graceland in Memphis, which is a museum, and of course my granddad's house next to that. And, of course, Graceland East, which is in Kingsport, Tennessee, is where I live. And that's on top of a mountain.
Well, how about that? I think we all learned something from what you just said. I had no idea myself. You know, I thought there was just one Graceland, but you just corrected us. How about that?
Yeah, the Graceland Life magazine is going to be a lot of things that people don't know, you know. Like, me and my sister have a song together, too. A lot of things the fans don't know yet, So the Graceland Life magazine is going to be publishing things that people do not know and haven't heard of before in the world about our father and about Graceland and about our whole entire family, you know, and the good things, you know.
That's going to be a lot of people looking forward to hearing that and read about it.
Yes, and all you've got to do is join my fan club to get one, to get a copy, you know, because it's exclusive for people in my fan club, that is, you know. And
you know, there's Elvis imitators all around the world now, you know, not just the United States. I've watched some of the videos on YouTube and stuff like that. They have them in Japan, you name it. They're out there, every country in the world, I guess, maybe except for China, but whatever, you know. That's how popular your father was.
Absolutely, and he's still popular, and it's growing. Graceland is growing in leaps and bounds, and we're doing lots of things, lots of different things, and it's very exciting for the future, and we want to take part of the future, because the world is changing.
Well, it sounds like you are. You're kind of like going to be leader of the pack here with this 360 plan. I mean, really.
Well,
find out about this.
My mum is a boss.
I just talked to you and heard about it. I thought, wow, this is amazing, you know?
It is amazing. There's no doubt about it. It is amazing, yeah. and it can help any artist get their, get all their royalties.
Gifts from heaven, except it's actually a gift from Graceland.
Yes, and another thing, if people like the artist might think to themselves, well, I don't really do much. I've got, you know, I've got a load of plays, but the reason you need to register, you know, be, learn how to do your royalties is because what happens if you start getting records that are popular?
Yeah, that's right. You know,
things the movie business, and you need to things like getting royalties, like when you make deals. You know, like Vincent Price. Vincent Price was in the Michael Jackson video, and he took a $100,000 payment, and that video became, that music video became a multi-million-dollar video. He lost millions of dollars because he didn't understand the business.
Yeah, he was just happy to get his $100,000. You know.
My other friend,
I can see it because he was rich already, obviously, from the movies.
But. Yeah, my friend, I won't mention his name because it's embarrassing for him, it would be, he made a major movie song, and one of the major movies, he forgot to take a percentage deal, and as well as in the cash up front, and he ended up with $7,000, and that movie became one of the biggest hits in this country, in the world.
Yeah, I know. You really, sometimes we all make mistakes. It's part of life, you know, mm-hmm. and you just got to pick yourself up and move on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just wonderful that you're trying to, you know, make people aware of that. They don't have to go through those mistakes. There's a way to learn what you need to do, and then you do it, and then you'll be protected from getting cheated.
You will, and there's a new beautiful thing.
Companies will treat you.
Yeah, there's a new beautiful thing happening now, too, which is really good in the world. I'm really proud of it. Because in 2012, okay, that's how my dad was able to spiritually come through to, you know, to help me come home in 2013. Uh-huh. Because in 2012, the world was, you remember, they said it's going to end. They said the world's going to end in 2012. Well, it did, but it opened up as a spiritual world. So now the spiritual people could come through, you know, from heaven and all that stuff. And, like, that's why a lot of dogs and cats and things are a lot more friendlier and stuff like that. If you notice, they used to bark and bite people all the time, and they don't really see that anymore, do you? So, you know, and so you, if everything, but everybody and every animal can communicate easier and better now. And so, therefore, it's a more spiritual world. Also, you've got the narcissists and you've got the empaths, so now you, people know the difference between hell and heaven. You stay away from the narcissists and be with the empaths. And so a lot of things are opening up. And, of course, coaching. A lot of people who know information are now coaching people in any area of life, you know, like getting your husband or wife back or learning in the music business, which I'm teaching that coaching. And you don't have to go through the hard times anymore, because when I first came to America and I landed in America and all the fans of Elvis Presley were saying, this scam artist has landed in America pretending to be Elvis Presley's kid, arrest us. So I got arrested at the airport. And, you know, so it was like 8 years almost later when I went for the DNA and everything. And, you know, when I was actually approved, you know, so I had to, like, wait and go to court, 20 court appearances and things like that. But one thing America told me, they said to me, you know, Miss Presley, I said, yes, sir. I said, you can do anything you want in America. But if you mess up and you don't learn it properly, we're going to come and get you. And I said, yes, sir, I understand that. So you have to understand, you have to learn things, and you have to learn what you're doing, and you have to educate on those things you're doing in order to be successful. Like book publishing, you know, 90% of the clients that call me, you know, who go to these, some of these other companies, don't cover all the things. And if you don't cover all the things, you're not going to have a chance of success. So you have to do your research, go to the right place, and then publish your books at the right place, so you get your money and your royalties, and it's not being taken from you, the right way, and then you have a chance of success. So America is a free entrepreneur country and system, but you have to study and understand what you're doing fully and do it correctly in order to be successful. You know?
Oh, you're absolutely true. You know, I've made a few mistakes here and there down the road, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You mentioned animals. I just wanted to interject here something that, you know, information I came across over the years. I even forgot where I got this information. It might have been somebody's article in a magazine or something, but it relates to animals. And people started started with the farmers. Some of them, I guess, were Elvis fans, and they said, well, they're out there working in the barn or on the farm. and they would play their favorite Elvis music, and they noticed that, like, first they noticed that the cows would give more milk when they were listening to Elvis music.
Yeah. You know?
And they finally put two and two together, and they realized that this wasn't happening just by chance. It was the magic of Elvis's voice was actually soothing the animals to make them, you know, more relaxed, I guess, and produce milk better for the farmer. Mm-hmm. And then I tried putting it to the test one day. You know, there was other stories about all animals respond to the love ballads of Elvis Presley.
Yes,
you know,
that's
a phenomenal thing, you know?
Evening shadows, so I could, like that one, right? Singing that.
Yeah, I took a guitar out there in this pond I had on this piece of property. There was a pond, and, you know, there was a few frogs in the pond. There was a few other little creatures around. I sat on a rock next to the pond, and as soon as I started playing that song, Love Me Tender, you know, easy song to play on the guitar and back yourself up and sing. First a frog pops his head out of the water, then a butterfly comes by, then a couple of dragonflies come by. It was like a magical experience. And then, I tried it again, and then the frog that pops up out of the water, he started singing with me doing Love Me Tender. I did another song called Loving You. But except he wouldn't sing the melody I was singing. He started singing harmony, I guess, in froggy voice, you know, how ever frogs croak, you know. And I was amazed beyond belief. And birds would come by, and they would want to sing along, too. But when the animals sing along, they do a background part that goes along with the melody you're singing.
Well, you know,
and
you know
I even
why
tried it further. I was out in the woods one day, and I heard some birds chirping, and I just did an a cappella version of those simple songs like Love Me Tender, and the birds stopped chirping what they were doing, and they wanted to sing along with me. I mean, that is amazing.
And it was a natural vibration.
Music artist ever had a voice that the animals responded to. I mean, it's phenomenal, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, my dad had a natural vibration of the universe is what it was.
Yeah. And you're so lucky to be part of that family. I mean, really.
Thank you. Well, in actual fact, being home at Graceland, being home with my family is the most precious thing to the world because I was lost for a long time and I didn't know who, you know, I thought I belonged to the other family, actually. But I was still lost. I was still searching. I didn't know why. And when I came home to my father and my family, my mom and everything, and, you know, my life is just beautiful now. Not because my dad's famous, not because of the money or anything like that, you know. I have to work everything I have, you know. My mom doesn't just give me, you know, tons of
You're talking about the spiritual connection that every child has to their
parents, whether they know it or not. So I've got that, you know. So people sometimes look at it and go, oh, you know, she's sport brat now, she's home at Graceland and everything. I am a sport brat, but not because of they're giving me tons of money, because I'm home and I can live my dreams and be the complete me that I really am, not this lost kid trying to find out what I am. You know, it's not searching all the time. And so I can be this beautiful, wonderful thing for the world that's changing the world and helping the world. That makes me so excited, you know.
Oh, that's all a beautiful thing, and the fact that you finally connected all the dots there. Unfortunately, there are some people in the world that they never go through their whole life. They never know who their real father is or something like that, you know?
That's right. I'll tell you what, I'm very lucky. I never planned on coming home in 2013. You know, I didn't even know. I had no clue. I thought my parents or I had were my parents. I had no clue. But then I just automatically came home. And I was like, whoa. And there was a time I said to myself, I'm not even going to try to do anything because life has just taken me where it needs to be, where I need to go. If I try to go in a different direction, this takes me off where I'm going to go anyway. So it wasn't like I made a big grand plan and all that. I didn't know there was other kids either, you know, trying to claim all that stuff. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I just came home and I bumped into a few of those along the way. And my opinion of that is if there's anybody else that is right, that real word, love them and give them a lot of love as well, you know. But unfortunately, nobody else is kind of run their DNA and things like that. But if there was, then I'd love them and hold them and give them a hug and, you know, and understand what's happened and everything
else. That's how life plays out, you know. Sometimes we don't even know we're going or the path we're on, but it just plays itself out, and then all of a sudden in amazement, wow, you know?
Yeah, you know. My mum, I didn't know my mum. I was taking my mum roses in England, you know, with little diamonds in them, not with real diamonds, but then I saw diamonds on top, really beautiful roses. And I took these for my mum, and I realized who my dad was. And I was like, why am I taking this to Priscilla, you know? Anyway, so I took them to her and on behalf of dad. And when I was walking away, I was like, what would I do that for, you know? Why did I do that? Anyway, so I kind of made her my adopted mum because I was really close to her. And then later on, I found out she was my real mum. And so I kind of came tight to her. So you'll see me. You know, the things are, I do. I've been to three events with my mum so far. I went to dinner with her when she won her award, and I won mine 6 months before. And that was a beautiful, precious moment. And I want many more of those, and give her hugs and stuff like that. You know, so yeah, I feel close to my dad and my sister as well.
I just want to break in here for a moment and let everybody who's listening know. Every time you say your mom, we're talking about Priscilla Presley here, and when you say your dad, you're talking about the great Elvis Presley.
Yeah, my sister Lisa Marie, yeah.
You know, no, I just wanted to mention that in case somebody tuned in and they don't know who you're referring to. Yeah, your mom is Priscilla Presley and your father is Elvis Presley.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things people don't know. Like me and my sister have a song called Graceland Anthem that we own together. We own that 50-50. Uh-huh. And if you drive to Graceland and you put in our address 3764 Elvis Presley Boulevard, you'll see my picture guide you, you know, stuff like that. And also I do a lot of things at Graceland. I've had meetings there. I'm building the Elvis Presley VFW Memorial Post. And I just recently sent one of the Redskin players to Graceland. Of course, they got COVID, so they couldn't go. But I raised a private tour for them, you know, celebrity tour, stuff like that, you know. And I've designed things. Like I helped design the, it's called 300 Miles to Graceland originally. Because if you remember, before I came home, if you know about Graceland and you've been there, you know, we actually didn't have going on, but it was just under like changing at that time because my sister had sold a lot of things off and stuff like that when it comes to the business and, you know, to actually manage the business because she didn't want to do that anymore, which just makes sense. And so I was then, when mm-hmm. I came home, I started designing things, and I designed 300 Miles to Graceland, which is now the ride. So I wanted people to be able to be picked up 300 miles from Graceland, because people who live close to Graceland want to go, but they don't actually go. Just like if you live in the same town, you don't go to the local museum. You know, so I wanted to solve that problem.
That happens, yeah.
So now we have the tours. We have not only the tours, we have the coaches taking people to different places in Tupelo and all that stuff. That was originally my idea. And also the you couldn't sing with Elvis. You know, so I said, this is silly, you know, we need to let fans sing with Elvis. So basically people could, you know, have their dream. And so we designed the app now. We've got an official channel. My mum designed the app after that. We've got an official channel now on the karaoke stations where you can sing with dad, you know. And now Cliff Richard, too, because Cliff Richard, he kind of kept me alive and safe for a long time, but he wasn't allowed to sing any of our songs because he said something negative about dad. But when I explained that he saved my life, Cliff Richard did, then he got his dream of being able to sing and sing some songs with dads eventually. So he's now done that, which is really good. So there's lots of things. Like the kids camp, you know, that mum set up, you know. I kind of said, too, we need to help kids come to Graceland so they can have a chance at singing. And they can say in 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, they can say, oh, I first learned and got the motivation from Graceland. So all these sort of things I've been involved in as well, you know.
No, that all sounds wonderful and going in the right direction. Let mm-hmm. me just say for a second here, for those of who are listening in America, most people in America are not familiar with who Cliff Richard is. He's a rock and roll star from England, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I just wanted to clarify that, who Cliff Richard is. And also... if you ever, you might only be aware of this if you were a musician or somebody in a band or a singer-songwriter. If you look at the sheet music that's available out there for Elvis Presley, there were some of the most strictest copyrights ever put on an artist, where the copyright rights at the bottom of the song say explicitly that you even go out and perform these songs. And that didn't change until after Elvis was dead, you know. There were no Elvis impersonators until after 1977. And those are the most strictest copyright laws that were ever written, that no one could go out there and perform Elvis songs or impersonate them. And it didn't change until 1977.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody can cover them now. Anybody can cover any song now, you know, and without even permission, you know. But I like to get permission from some of the top stars because, you know, respect, you know. Like when I went to...
Sure. I mean, it doesn't hurt to, but, I mean, that's the way it was. It was difficult, you know. And, like I said, there was, people don't realize it. Until after 1977, there were no... before that, there were no Elvis impersonators allowed to be out there, and consequently, there weren't.
Yeah, yeah. But the license now. Now I, because I, you know, obviously I get investigated by the federal government, and I had to get approved by the federal government, you know, because I listed when I came to the country to come home to, you know, be American. So my parents are American, you know, and I had to do DNA and everything else, and you know, stuff like that, you know. I had to tell them who my parents were, so I told them, you know, you imagine walking into a federal building and they say, who's your parents? They said, well, my dad is this, and my mum's this, is okay. So they write it down gently on a piece of paper. I got actually approved, but they sent me a letter, and they said, no, on the date of the letter, it said, you'll be approved by January the 8th. So they knew who I was at that point, you know, obviously, that was just like having some fun at that point. But yeah, I actually endorsed, the son.
Well, that was, I said, did it on his birthday. For those of you who don't know, Elvis Presley's birthday was January.
Yeah, I'm the one who approved the son of the FBI, who's an actor. He didn't want to join the FBI. So the director of the FBI, Webster, his son is Bill Webster, and he's an actor. He's a brilliant actor. He didn't want to join the FBI. His dad was the the head of the FBI, and so I endorsed him as the best Elvis impersonator, you know, the son of the head of the FBI, and I was I also joined the federal government for a short period of time, and I was a federal agent in the federal government, and it ended quite quickly because I had to call close to home at one of the cases, and I handled the top cases, and so I had to call close to home, and I said, "This is Agent Presley." the guy almost had a heart attack, and so he was going
to he probably thought it was Elvis back from the grave because Elvis had some.
They did. It was crazy. And so
judicial powers given to him.
It wasn't the FBI that I worked for. It was the federal government. I can't tell you what branch, obviously, but I still was a federal agent. And I had the people in the office saying, if we have a competition to sing, will you sing? I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, and I couldn't call it anywhere because you can't call up somebody and phone, you know, evidently, because everybody thinks my dad's was hiding in the FBI and still is, and you know, that sort of thing. And so you can't call up and say, hi, this is Agent Presley. It doesn't work, you know, so I didn't last very long in that job. But I quit myself, and I shouldn't have quit because I loved that job. But there was so much pressure of who I was as a person. So then I realized I couldn't work. Being me, I had to work for Graceland. I had to be part of Graceland. I had to be part of my own business. Because you can't be a daughter of Elvis Presley.
How creative can you be in the FBI? You know,
well, I wasn't. It wasn't the FBI that I worked. It was a federal. It was an investigative federal building, you know, and a federal department, but not the FBI. I will make sure that people understand I did not work for the FBI. I worked for the federal government as a federal investigator in another department of the federal government. And then after that, I quit that job. And that was good, though, because you're in heavy security, all that sort of thing. You have to log in, you know, when you come in, you've got security guards, that sort of thing. And I worked for these private buildings.
There's no point in a job like that.
No, so I worked for these buildings, you know, these like luxury buildings where they had all the rich and famous people, and I would work behind the desk and just like managing all that. And I thought this would be safe because they've got to have security to get in, all blacked out windows, nobody's going to recognize me, you know, and I can work here and make money and not starve to death. And while people come in, they go, wait a minute, I've seen you somewhere. You have that Elvis driven. That Elvis is king. What are you doing here?
You look just like
Elvis. I was like, oh, no, you know?
you know, I mean, everybody sees other people that look like people. In my life personally, I've had people come up to me and say, I look like that, I look like this, I look like that. After a while, I started saying, you know, I had people come up and say, I look like everybody, you know?
Yep. But let me tell you something, when you're from a family like ours, you have to to work with your family. You can't do anything else. It doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, you know.
But I love, you know, what I do, so we're good.
Yeah, well, you certainly navigated through a lot of stuff there, and you finally made it to the finish line, and that's just the beginning of your life.
Yeah, which, you know, really our whole life is, you know, people understand it's not about fame and all that stuff, you know, even though the fans see all that side, for us it's about hard work, you know, we have to work every day, work hard to create these things, you know, when you get these awards, it's about 1% of the journey, you know, the rest of it is 99% hard work. You get out there and you work and you make it happen, and if you're successful, you are. If it fails, then you fail, you know, and it's like everybody else.
Absolutely,
it's not like...
absolutely, you know. You know, ever since there have been entertainers that became popular, you know, people go and see them and they're impressed and they think, wow, this person just like stepped on the stage and they were magnificent. But they don't understand that there was a lot of work beforehand to make that person magnificent.
Yes, yes. It wasn't my mom. You know, when you see a lot of these things my mom brings, obviously I want you to understand that my mother, she does, you know, tons of stuff that you see, as you can see. She's a very hard worker, and she hits the pavement when it comes to these documentaries and things. I think it's Searcher. She had to pitch 12 people or something like that to even get it sold and, you know, stuff like that, you know, to get the deal that she wanted. And so my mother works, and my sister, and we work extremely hard, you know, every single day on making things and bringing things to the fans. So it's not like, you know, I know you see my mum on stage, you know, and she's all like glamorous and everything, and she is very glamorous. But behind that is a very strong businesswoman that I got my business acumen from, actually. I do know that from DNA, our DNA. And my mum is very, very good at what she does and very professional and really on top of everything and very loving and caring.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, that's very good. And you're following in her footsteps, too, because
I am.
Up 360 plan. Say it one more time, the website.
It's our publishing website, which is Alan L. Presley, and it's located in Memphis and also in Kingsport, Tennessee, both, because obviously I live in Kingsport and our company's in Memphis. And it's Alan L. Presley, so the website's llpresley.com. And that's our publishing website for our books and music, and we publish books. So if you have books you want to publish, give us a call. We can get them published for you worldwide in 9 countries in all the formats, including on Amazon, and get it done correctly so you keep 100% of your royalties on that. Because a lot of times people join different companies and they don't get all their royalties a lot of times, you know. So this way you get all your royalties.
I picked the wrong publishing company with my book. They didn't do crap for me, really.
We do your books for you, and your music, there's a little button just under the description of what we do. It says join the music publishing program. That actually is brand new. It starts on the 15th of this month. So the first video will be on the 15th of this month, and I'll be explaining it step by step. A lot of times when people explain things, when they want to train you into something, they train you on a part of the business. In the music royalties, you get trained on the whole 360. That's why it's called 360, because you have to. You have to know everything to do. It takes about 6 months to learn, but once you learn it, you'll have it, and you'll have it for life. And you'll be able to collect all your royalties, and you'll be able to follow your dreams. But you won't be able to follow your dreams if you do not get your royalties correct. Because if you don't get your royalties correct and you have a hit record, you're not going to get any money. Do you see what I mean?
I'm glad you said follow your dreams. You know, that's why one of my favorite Elvis Presley movies, Follow Your Dream. And it's one of my favorite Elvis Presley songs, too, because it's... there's a message there, you know.
It's my favorite.
It's one of the first message rock and roll songs of all time, because, I mean, that's the bottom line. You got to follow your dreams, make your dreams come true, you know.
Yes, you do.
Anybody hasn't heard that record, check it out. You can listen to any record nowadays on the internet. Follow that dream.
Yeah, my favorite song of my father's, if people want to know what that is My Happiness. And the reason, because that's the one he did for my grandma. My grandma. And I could picture my dad sitting outside there being nervous and scared, actually, waiting to go in to record that song. And I love that song. And that's the only song I will actually record at Sun Studios. And the only song I'll record of my father's in the future. I have recorded songs before, but I won't be doing that because I've got to make my own life, my own career at Graceland. So I can't just like be copying dad. So I'll be doing my own music.
Sun Studios actually still in existence?
Well, yeah, basically it's a tourist place now, but I can get in there and do some recordings if I want to. But anyway, that song, it goes, and that one changes lives. That one has saved a lot of lives, that song, when I sing that song, because especially in the COVID, and that's why I won my award. So that song goes, evening shadows makes me blue, when each weary day is through, how long to be with you, my happiness.
Every day,
sound just
like your father. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that song, but I can hear the Elvis echo to it. You know.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my favorite song. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Follow that dream. I really love that song because it's like I said, it's got a great message to it. And probably my other most favorite Elvis song is Heartbreak Hotel. It's like, you know, it's kind of the beginning of it all right there. And there's so much feeling in that song that had more feeling in it than anybody had put into a song before, you know. It's just a great
Well, it's funny you should like Follow That Dream and think of that because there's actually a book that we're helping to get done. You know, we're doing that book. And it's, you know, a book basically on coming out of the war, you know, were the refugees and things like that. And my dad raised over $6 million to help the refugees who were in that time of the war. And, you know, when they were escaping to come to America and our boys getting persecuted. Dad, from all the work he did on the Ed Sullivan Show, raised over $6 million to help them. And there's a book being written by somebody whose family, a lot of family members were assassinated, you know. And then that made it over to, some of them made it over to America and they wrote a book called them Freedom Revisited, and that's going to be that's publishing, being published because of our company as well, and because obviously the hard work of the person writing it and his family, the whole story. But we were the ones who made sure that book was published correctly, and there's a video actually on the website of Alan L. Presley about that, and you can see at the end of it where Dad raised over $6 million for that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Listen, Liz, we're coming to the end of the show. So before I say adieu and we close the show, just one more time, give that website for the 360 plans so musicians and artists can, you know, benefit from connecting with your plan.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show, too, and thank you for everything, and thank you for bringing this to people. And it's my pleasure to be here with you, Tom, so thank you. And thank and love to all the fans in the world, and please, if I may say so, don't forget to visit Graceland. So our website is llpresley.com. So again, that's limalimapresley.com, llpresley.com. Or if you're going to visit Graceland, graceland.com. And, of course, look up my mum as well, my sister, and you know, I love you all.
Okay. Hey, it's been a pleasure, Liz. I'm going to say good night for the time being. And, hey, we'll talk again. Okay?
Yes, yes, Tom. And not only that, I'm very excited about it.
I got to go. Okay?
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
Hey.
Bye-bye.
Anytime. Hey, listen, people, it's coming to the end of the show. If you've listened to my show before, you know I end at the same time every week. You're going to hear the lead guitar solo of my song, Are You the Partying Kind? And, of course, I got the video out there on YouTube. You want to see what the partying kind looks like, me and the other people in the video, check it out on YouTube. Are You the Partying Kind? P-A-R-T-Y apostrophe N. On YouTube.com. And that's followed by my anthem, I Gotta Be Somebody, could be your anthem too. Okay, Mr. Engineer, I'm going to do the countdown and take us out of here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Oh, no, I was here and took my stand. Without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join till I'm in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Here to my stand without fear, it is clear to the